home, and I imagine I sort of imagine them, you know, stopping at a Hardee's just outside of Ithaca and getting a burger as soon as they say goodbye. But you know, after that, I just thought, geez, you know, I gotta find some way to come clean about this.
I mean, is it okay if your child decides to express himself in an alternate personality for a period of 2 years?
I think there's... It's funny. I never thought I would say this, but I think there's nothing wrong with that. I never thought I would say it because I think... because I wish that I hadn't done it now. But... I don't know, maybe I learned something from doing it. I mean... I think that that is... you know, par for the course. Like, that's part of... Now, I think that's part of growing up.
I think it was... it was probably necessary for me at that time in my life.
Because it gave you more confidence.
Yeah. And there was some bridge that this, you know, that this allowed me to cross.
Joe Lovell and John Cole. Joe Lovell is the executive editor of a podcast company called Pineapple Street Media and an actual vegetarian these days.
Sean Cole works in public radio.
Indeed he does. He's one of the producers of our program.
That piece of meat on your plate, buying was murder, eating is right. Think about your act makes me feel under the weather. Bet you wouldn't care if it came out.
Act two, conning the con men. The American legal system, for the most part, does not uphold the principle of eye for an eye. If you steal somebody's car, the judge does not steal your car in return. If they catch you selling weed, they do not sell weed to you as your punishment. But if you're in the business of running scams, authorities catch you by running a scam on you. This is the story of a con man who made millions by fooling people over the phone until he was the one who got fooled. Nancy Updike reports.
The guy's name is David Diamond. That's his actual name. He was one of the most successful salesmen in one of the longest-running telemarketing scams in Los Angeles history.
David Diamond was a salesman at a boiler room.
This is Dale Sokovich. He's been a Federal Trade Commission investigator for 29 years. He's the one who busted Diamond.
He was living in a very expensive home up in the hills in Woodland Hills. He drove a custom Porsche Carrera that he had shipped over here by airplane from Germany, from the factory. They lived very high on the hog.
David Diamond was just one of a whole bunch of guys making money hand over fist in an operation in Southern California that was basically running the same scam over and over under different names for 7 years. It was an investment scheme. Give us your money and we'll put it into this great 900 number business, or this online shopping network, or this hot new internet service provider. Needless to say, no one ever made a dime, except the people running the scam, who cleared $40 million. Since Diamond was one of the operation's top salesmen, he made $2 million in commissions in just 4 years on the job. He got 30% of whatever he talked a person into investing. That means he personally conned people out of more than $6 million. The FTC caught Diamond and the others in the operation essentially by conning the con men. They had volunteers pose as dupes and record their phone calls. Because the FTC brought a case against the operation Diamond worked in, some of those recordings are now part of the public record. I got Dale Sokovich to listen to the tapes with me and talk about David Diamond and the FBI volunteer who caught him.
The woman on the tape, I can't tell you her real name, but she uses the alias of Marge. She assumed the identity of a person who is named Marge. Marge was a real person who we in law enforcement and who people in the telemarketing business refer to as a mooch. A mooch is someone who will essentially buy anything from anybody who calls her on the telephone. And in fact, she did over a number of years. She spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The real Marge.
The real Marge spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on bogus prize promotions, investments, gold coins, you name it. So the FBI went to Marge and said, we really think that we need to take your telephone number away from you because it's being used to ruin your life. So once Marge agreed to that, her telephone number was installed in the home of an FBI volunteer. And that volunteer, every time that phone line rang, the Marge line, that volunteer would pick up that telephone and answer it and pose as Marge.
Marge?
Yes.
It's David Diamond. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. It's kind of warm here.
Yeah? I sent you off a video and a package.
Yes, I have it.
Okay. The video is with regard to Mark Erickson.
Uh-huh.
Mark Erickson is the person who is heading up the program.
Yes.
And he is very successful in taking upstart companies and making them successful. You've probably heard of Hard Copy. He's the original producer of Hard Copy.
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay.
You're smiling as you listen to this. What are you smiling about?
Well, I'm smiling because it's been a while since I've heard Marge, and she sounds so old and so fragile and such an easy mark. When in fact, you know, she's this sharp FBI informant, and she doesn't look as old as she sounds, trust me. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is this whole Mark Erickson thing.
Yeah, is he a real person?
Mark Erickson is a real person. He was named in our lawsuit.
And was he an original producer of Hard Copy?
No. He was a segment producer and on-the-air reporter for Hard Copy for a brief period of time.
And, I mean, is this sort of typical of the cons in the tapes that you've heard that they'll try to associate what they're selling with a legitimate business or organization,
exactly,
or television show, something that people have heard of?
Exactly. They want to make this, yeah, something people can relate to.
Here's the thing. You have to invest everything you've got or do nothing at all. And I'll say that again. You should invest everything you have. You should transfer all of your investments into this program or do nothing. It doesn't make sense to do just a little bit. You should think about doing $1 million in this program.
I don't know. That's a lot of money.
You need to liquidate every nickel you've got. You either want to be in the situation, you either want to be in the situation wholeheartedly and upgrade your investments, or you don't. My suggestion is just do the whole thing.
Well, I would never liquidate everything I have.
My question is, why not?
Because there's always gambles in anything like this.
Anything like what?
Well, any investment like this.
Like this? What does that mean?
Well, anything you invest in, there's always a gamble.
Now, I want to ask you, you told me once that you thought he sounded nervous on this tape. And in this part where she's saying, you know, an investment like this, and he's sort of, you know, questioning her, well, what do you mean like this? I wonder, do you have any sense that he's suspicious that she might know what he's up to? I mean, do they know that volunteers are out there trying to trap them, posing as dupes?
No. Since we talked about this tape last, I actually sort of had a revelation that came to me as to why. I listened to over 40 individual tapes of David Diamond, conversations with Marge and conversations with others over the course of about a year. And one of the things, when you've listened to all of them, you find that David, in sort of the earlier part of that year, was much more kind of sweet and cautious and trying to bond with these women and patient, and sometimes would spend an hour on the phone with them. The tape would be an hour long. But this tape was made towards the very end of that year period, probably within a week or two of our raid. Having gone in on the raid, and searched David Diamond's desk that day, I came to realize that David Diamond was starting to question whether he wanted to do this anymore. He was starting to really have some concerns about
moral concerns
about what they were doing. And I believe that in these last couple of weeks, that, and it's kind of shown in this tape, he was becoming a little bit desperate. He wanted to make a couple of more big hits, and he just couldn't figure out why this woman wasn't going to write him a check. So he started getting frustrated, and it comes out in his voice.
What evidence did you see that he was starting to have, you know, moral qualms about what he was doing?
David had become born again. There were religious tracts all over his office and posters on his wall.
Just recently?
I don't know exactly what the time frame was. We do know that he had given a lot of the money that he had made to his church. And we believe that a lot of that was sort of a self-imposed penance, that he could justify what he was doing because he was tithing this money that he was taking from these poor victims into his church.
If $30,000 is what you made on every $5,000 and you put $50,000 in this program, that's $300,000 return.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm telling you, you need to do $1 million in this program.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would never put that much in any program.
Do you have an obligation to yourself as an investor to make the most amount of money possible?
Well, you know, at my age, it's really not that, what do I want to say? I have enough to live on for the rest of my life.
I understand. But is it still in your best interest to make the most amount of money possible if you can find to do it as safely as possible?
It's my obligation not to lose what I have.
Correct. But it's also your obligation to keep your money working for
right,
you. Otherwise,
right.
What's the point?
When I heard this part of the tape, even though I knew that that this woman, this particular woman, was not getting conned, that she was in fact conning him and trapping him, I started to get so angry because I was thinking, you know, he is really trying to take all of this old woman's money, all of it. She's saying, I have enough to live on. He's saying, you have an obligation to make more. Do you ever hear things like that and just get angry, even though you know that she's sort of in on the con, on the joke?
Every time I hear these pitches, I'm outraged. because I am the person that spoke to people who really did send David Diamond tens of thousands of dollars that consisted of their life savings and now don't have any money to even buy groceries. I've interviewed them. I've seen them sob. It makes me very angry.
And what sort of recourse do they have?
Slim and none.
We have public companies that want to take you public.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a public company that's passed judgment on, it's not even me talking anymore. If Mark Erickson wants to do business with you, it's not even me talking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to make an absolute fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense not to have every nickel you've got in this particular program. That's why I said it's an emergency investment situation, and you should do at least 50 to 100, 150 units while you have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much are you investing in this?
I'm not investing anything in this.
Uh-huh.
My investment comes in the time that I put with my clients.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that when they make money, they reinvest with me.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's the whole point.
Uh-huh.
You were smiling again. When she said, you know, how much are you investing? I mean, is she just screwing around with him?
Of course she's playing with him. Yeah. I mean, she's trained to ask him those kinds of questions so that he responds with a misrepresentation.
But that doesn't sound like it's part of the script. That just sounds like her, I mean, her being mean in sort of a,
no,
I mean, sort of a delicious way.
Well, no, I think what we were trying to do, or her handler was trying to do, was get her to make, to get him to say, oh yeah, I'm in it, and I've got my mother and my grandmother in it, and I'm putting away money for my child's education with it, because then we could show later that he hadn't.
Did you ever talk to Marge about what it's like to do this? Do they ever sort of have fun just thinking, you know, I'm just turning the tables on this guy. He has no idea.
I can't. I wish I could answer the question. I've never spoken to them. I'd love to get the answer to that myself. I'd like to ask that question myself. I think they get a lot of personal satisfaction, though.
How often do you get a chance to catch a bad guy as just a regular civilian?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do it too. I tape people using an alias in cases that I work.
And is it fun?
I love it. I love to get these people to tell me stuff. It's like acting. There's a rush.
The rush of a con, the pleasure of it, is knowing that you have more power than the person you're conning. You know more. You know that it's a con. And let's face it, given the choice between being the mark and being the con man, nobody's going to choose to be the mark. But the problem is, the more confidence you have in your own con, the more easily you become a mark yourself. Con men get taken by other con men all the time. There just seems to be something about the particular arrogance of always being on the knowing side of the con that makes for a really, really good mark.
Nancy Updike is one of the producers of our program. In the years since we first broadcast this episode, today's show is a rerun. Dale Sekovich, the FTC investigator who busted David Diamond, has died. Coming up, a child tries to fix his own family by harnessing the most powerful force that exists anywhere. That's in a minute from Chicago Public Radio when our program continues.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find This American Life and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for This American Life on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony, presenting Puttin' on the Ritz with Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles and Grieg's Piano Concerto, performed by Chiyung Park on Saturday, November 2nd. Tickets at topekasymphony.org. We have a beautiful afternoon in store for us. Sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s, winds from the east 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, lows around 40 degrees. Sunny and warmer for tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s. You're listening to This American Life on Kansas Public Radio.
This American Life, I'm Ira Glass. Each week in our program, of course, we choose a theme, bring you a variety of different kinds of stories on that theme. Today's show, Hoaxing Yourself. Stories of people who are fooling themselves. Sometimes that is a side effect of trying to fool others. Sometimes they just don't know better and pin their hopes and beliefs on something that is simply not true at all. We've arrived at Act 3 of our show, Act 3, Oedipus Hex. Shalom Auslander tells a story which happened to him when he was a boy in one of those ultra-Orthodox Jewish religious schools called yeshivas. I wanted to listeners that although this story is about a little boy, in the story the dad is not so nice to his kids, which might not be a thing that little kids will enjoy hearing at all. So take that under advisement. Here's Shalom.
Rabbi Breyer walked into our third grade classroom, hung up his long black coat, took off his big black hat, and handed each student a small black booklet entitled The Guide to Blessings. We had 1 week, he told us, to prepare for the annual Yeshiva of Spring Valley Blessing Bee. My heart leapt. This was just what my mother needed. The blessing bee would make her forget all the troubles of her home. To have a son who's a Talmud Chacham, a wise student, that was the ultimate. Her brother was a respected rabbi, and if her husband couldn't be one, well, maybe... The Guide to Blessings was a 70-page long listing of hundreds of different foods, soups, breads, fish, desserts. I flipped through it, slowly realizing the size of the challenge that lay ahead. Falafel, herring, eggplant parmesan. I had my work cut out for me. Friday afternoons, the yeshiva closed early so that we could all rush home to help our parents prepare for Shabbos, the Sabbath. Rabbi Breyer told us that the sages tell us that the Torah tells us that the preparation for Shabbos is equal to the importance of Shabbos itself. Most of my preparations involved searching the house for kosher wine and pouring it down the toilet. It was a thankless job, I admitted to nobody. My father's frustrated rage at not having his Manischewitz Concord grape was fearsome, but it was far better than his drunken rage if he did have it. I'd search the pantry, I'd search the garage, I'd search my father's closet, but I was only 8 years old, and there was always a bottle of Kedem hiding somewhere I just hadn't thought to check. That night, my father, drunk on a bottle of Bless Chablis that got away, grabbed my older brother by his shirt collar and dragged him away from the Shabbos table. He dragged him all the way down the stairs to our bedroom in the basement and slammed the door shut. Even the silverware jumped. "Who wants the Latz matzo ball?" my mother asked. "I made extra." When my brother returned to the table, his nose was bleeding. My mother brought him a can of frozen orange juice to hold against the back of his neck, which was supposed to somehow stop the bleeding. Rabbi Breyer taught us that it is prohibited to defrost orange juice on Shabbos because changing food from solid to liquid is considered cooking, and cooking is considered working, and even God refrained from working on Shabbos. There are 39 different categories of work that are prohibited on Shabbos. That's also why you're not allowed to switch on lights on Shabbos. The electricity causes the filament to glow, which is considered burning, which is considered working. Category number 2. My father came back to the table and drunkenly sang a few Shabbos songs, fudging the words and banging heavily on the table with his fist. I sat hunched over, absent-mindedly drawing circles on the condensation that had formed on the silver water pitcher. My father slapped my hand. "Shabbos!" he shouted. Writing, category number 5. Eventually, he stumbled off to his bedroom and fell asleep, snoring loudly. We sat in the dining room and picked glumly at our food. The following Monday morning, as we all sat studying from our blessing books, there was a knock on Rabbi Breyer's classroom door, and Rabbi Greenbaum, the yeshiva principal, solemnly entered. We all rose. The two rabbis conferred quietly for a moment before signaling us all to be seated. After a few thoughtful strokes of his long black beard, Rabbi Greenbaum sighed deeply and informed us that the night before, our classmate Avrami Grunenbaum's father had suffered a heart attack and died. Some kids have all the luck. "Blessed is the one true judge," said Rabbi Breyer, nodding his head. "Blessed is the one true judge," we all answered, nodding our heads. I wondered what Mr. Grunenbaum might have done to deserve death. Did he bow down to idols? Did he walk 4 steps without his yarmulke on? Whatever it was, it must have been pretty bad. As Rabbi Greenbaum turned to leave, he paused, and with a stern shake of his finger, reminded us all that the sages tell us, that the Torah tells us, that until the age of 13, all of a boy's sins are ascribed to his father. I turned to look at Avrami's empty chair. Avrami was a chubby kid with heavy orthodontia and foul breath, but a sudden respect for him grew inside me. I wondered what he might have done to cause his father's death. Whatever it was, it must have been pretty bad. Scowling fiercely, Rabbi Greenbaum advised each and every one of us to pray to Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, for forgiveness, so that He wouldn't kill our fathers too. My heart leapt. "Blessed is Hashem," he said. "Blessed is Hashem," we answered. "Blessed is Hashem" was right. All of a sudden, I had two ways I could save my family. I could win the blessing be for my mother, or I could sin so much, Hashem would have to kill my father. Courageous Avrami Grunenbaum. Maybe one Shabbos night he had switched on a light. Maybe he drank milk after eating meat. Maybe he touched himself. That night, just before bed, I ate a drumstick, washed it down with some milk, touched myself, and flicked the bedroom light on and off. Break those lights and I'll break your hands, my father shouted. It was going to be a busy week. The blessing bee worked the same way as a spelling bee. There were 6 basic blessings on food. Hamotzi, the blessing for bread. Mizonos, the blessing for wheat. Hagefen, the blessing for wine or grape juice. Haetz, the blessing for things that grow from trees. Hadama, the blessing for things that grow from the earth. And Shehakol, the blessing for everything else. Bagel, Hamotzi. Oatmeal, Mizonos. Gefilte fish, Shehakol, the blessing for everything else. But that was the easy part. Things became much more complicated when you started combining foods. Some foods are superior to other foods, and in combination with subordinate foods, the superior food gets the blessing. To make matters worse, some blessings are superior to other blessings, and you had to know which blessing to recite first. This is where they separated the men from the goys. Spaghetti and meatballs, Mizonos, the wheat blessing, then Shehakol, the everything else blessing. Cereal with milk, Shehakol for the milk, then Mizonos for the wheat and the cereal. Twix, the chocolate candy with the cookie crunch? Trick question. Twix isn't kosher. I spent the next week sinning and blessing and sinning, alternately praising God and then defying Him as much as 1 8-year-old possibly could. Monday morning, I stuffed myself. I had a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, Mizonos, a slice of toast, Hamotzi, a glass of juice, Shehakol, half an apple, Haetz, and a couple of old French fries I found at the bottom of the fridge, Hadama. One meal, 5 blessings. Tuesday, I touched myself. I also partook of bread without first ceremoniously washing my hands. And that evening, before going to sleep, I sat on the edge of my bed and carefully recited and ass 12 times each. My father banged angrily on my bedroom door. Lights out, he barked. I smiled. For you and me both, pal. Wednesday, I stole $5 from my mother and didn't recite any blessings at all on the bag full of candy that I bought with it. A Charleston chew, which is trafe to begin with, and a chunky, which would have been a Shehakol if I weren't trying to kill my father. A chunky with raisins, Shehakol, then Haetz. Thursday, I didn't wear tzitzis. Rabbi Breyer noticed that the strings weren't dangling from my sides and grabbed me by the ear and pulled me to the front of the class. Speak to the children of Israel, he quoted loudly from the Torah as he spanked me hard on my bottom, and tell them to make tzitzis on the corners of their garments. That afternoon, after not respecting my elders by taking out the garbage like my mother had told me to, I touched myself and silently begged God to just this once credit those sins to Rabbi Breyer's account. Later, I defiled a prayer book by carrying it into the bathroom. The blessing bee was the following morning, and I could barely sleep. Lentil soup, Mizonos. Potato knish, Hadama. Root beer, is it a root? Is it a beer? Ass. I tossed and turned, I blessed and cursed, and finally I fell into an uncomfortable sleep. After a week at home, Avrami Grunenbaum conveniently returned to school just in time for the blessing bee. It was all I could do to not lean over and ask him how he did it. Psst, Avrami, tell me, was it lobster? Did you eat lobster? Rabbi Breyer told us that the sages tell us that the Torah tells us that when Abraham died, Hashem comforted Isaac. We learn from this that it is a tremendous mitzvah, or good deed, to comfort the bereaved. Rabbi Breyer instructed us all to line up at Avrami's desk, to shake his hand and recite the traditional mourner's consolation. May Hashem comfort you among the mourners of Zion. Being just 8 years old, I wasn't entirely familiar with Hashem's system, but it occurred to me that, along with all my sins, my father might also be getting all my mitzvahs. I wasn't taking any chances. Soon it was my turn in line. "How's it going?" I said to Avrami. Rabbi Breyer pinched me. "Ow!" I screamed. "Shmendrik," he grumbled. After the last boy had asked Hashem to comfort Avrami among the mourners of Zion, Rabbi Breyer smacked his desk loudly. The blessing bee began. We lined up at the back of the classroom, nervously pulling on our tzitzis and twirling our payas. The rules were simple. Name the correct blessing and remain standing for the next round. Name the wrong blessing and you take your seat. Last year's winner, Yukasiel Zalman Yehuda Schneck, stood beside me. He leaned calmly against the wall, mindlessly picking his nose. "Auslander, shalom," called out Rabbi Breyer. I stepped forward. "Apple," he shouted. "Apple," I called out. "Ha'etz," the blessing for food from trees. "Correct," Rabbi Breyer said. The blessing bee usually started off pretty easy. David Borden got tuna, shahako, the everything else blessing. Ari Mashinsky got matzah, hamotzi, the blessing for bread. And Abi Tuckman got stuck with kugel, which he thought was hadama, food from the earth, but was really mizonos, the blessing on wheat. Three other kids got taken out by oatmeal. Borscht with sour cream claimed two others, and by the end of the first round, almost a third of the students were already back in their seats. Round two. "Auslander, shalom," called Rabbi Breyer. I stepped forward. "Mushroom barley soup," he shouted. "Mushroom barley soup, mushroom barley soup." Damn, I knew I should have studied the chapter on soups more. I'd wasted half the week on entrees. Was it hadama on the mushrooms, which came from the earth? Or was it mizonos on the barley? Maybe it was shahakol, the everything else blessing on the soup. "Mushroom barley soup," I called out. "Mizonos." Rabbi Breyer tugged on his beard, his eyes narrowing into angry little slits. "Shahakol," I added. Rabbi Breyer triumphantly smacked his desk, signaling that I was correct. Apple Strudel took out David Borgen, Yoel Levine, and Shlomo Pomerantz. My friend Mati Greenberg got stuck with cheesecake, and I could tell just by the expression on his face that he had absolutely no idea. He wisely offered two answers, one for thin crust and one for thick, and somehow managed to stay alive. It was hard to believe this was only round two. Avrami stepped forward. I smiled at Mati. Avrami may have killed his father, but he wasn't very bright, and he never did well at these things. He was lucky to even be in the second round at all. "Bagel," shouted Rabbi Breyer. "Bagel?" I looked at Mati in disbelief. Was he kidding? "Bagel?" "Bagel," called out Avrami. "Hamotzi." This was bull. "Correct," shouted Rabbi Breyer. "Very good." Ephraim Greenblatt, Avrami Epstein, and Yoel Frankel all got out on chalent with barley and large pieces of meat, while chopped liver on challah with a slice of lettuce and a bit of olive took out four more, including Mati. And then there were three. It was just Yukasiel Zalman Yehuda Schneck, Avrami Grunenbaum, and me. Round three began. "Auslander, shalom," called out Rabbi Breyer. I stepped forward. "Ice cream," shouted Rabbi Breyer. "In a cone." "Ice cream in a cone, ice cream in a cone." I knew ice cream, but why would he add the cone? Was there something different if it was in a cone? What was an ice cream cone made of anyway? Was it cake? Was it a wafer? "Ice cream in a cone," Rabbi Breyer shouted. Is the ice cream subordinate to the cone, or is it the cone subordinate to the ice cream? If it's a sugar cone, maybe you really desire the cone. "Ice cream in a cone," Rabbi Breyer shouted again. I had no choice. "Ice cream in a cone," I called out. "No blessing." Everyone in the classroom turned to face me. Looking back on the whole episode, Rabbi Breyer had really left me no choice. "No blessing," said Rabbi Breyer. "Why no blessing?" "Because," I explained, nervously twirling my tzitzis. "Because." "Because the room smells like duty." There was a long silence. Mati giggled, and others followed. Rabbi Breyer slowly rose to his feet, his his thick fists pushing themselves into the desktop. It may have been a loophole, but technically speaking, I was correct. Rabbi Breyer himself had told us that our sages tell us that the Torah tells us that there are three situations in which one is absolutely prohibited from reciting a blessing. 1. While facing a male over the age of 9 years old whose genitals are showing. 2. While facing a female over the age of 3 years old whose genitals are showing. And 3. In the presence of feces. Frankly, given the other two options, I think I chose the least offensive answer. For a big man, Rabbi Breyer moved pretty quickly. "It's true," I said as he barreled toward me. "The Torah says that..." He grabbed me roughly by my arm, lifting me clear off the ground, and dragged me towards the door, shouting angrily in Yiddish the whole time. "But it smells like duty," I yelled. "The room smells like duty. Wait, there's a naked girl in the room. There's a naked girl." The door slammed shut behind me. I stood in the hallway and rubbed my bruised arm. I began to cry. The blessing bee was lost. I was not a great rabbi. And my father was still not dead. I tiptoed toward the classroom door and listened closely. 2 minutes later, Yukasiel Zalman Yehuda Schneck fell victim to matzo brei with maple syrup, and the last man standing was Avrami Grunenbaum. "Apples," called out Rabbi Breyer. "Apples," Avrami answered. "Ha'etz." "Mazel tov," called out Rabbi Breyer. "Mazel tov." Total bull. That night, we had the traditional Friday night gefilte fish, shahakol, with a little slice of carrot, ha'adama. My father was drunk again, singing Shabbos songs, fudging the words and banging heavily on the table with his fist. My mother went into the kitchen and brought out the soup. When my brother said he didn't want any, my father slapped him, pushed him over backward onto the floor, and poured the hot chicken soup onto his face. My mother took my brother into the bathroom and sat with him on the edge of the bathtub, pressing a cold washcloth against his cheeks, and I went back to the dining room to wipe the chicken soup off the floor. Chicken soup is a shahakol, even if it is cooked with vegetables, since chicken is the dominant taste in the soup. Rabbi Breyer told us that the sages tell us that the Torah tells us that the Holy One, blessed be He, sent the Egyptians 10 plagues in order to teach us that He gives people many chances to repent. And only then, if they still continue to sin, does He punish them with death. I went downstairs to my bedroom, took 4 steps without my yarmulke on, touched myself, flicked the lights off and on, and fell asleep.
Shalom Auslander. He's the author of many great books. This story appears in his memoir, Foreskin's Lament. His most recent book is called Fe, a memoir.
Well, I went and lost her to the great imposter. I stood and watched her fall.
Our program is produced today by me and Blue Cheveny, with Alex Bloomberg, Susan Burton, and Julie Snyder. Our contributing editors for today's show, Paul Tuff, Jack Hitt, Margie Rockin, Elise Spiegel, and Consigliere Sarah Val. Mixing help today by Jared Floyd and Catherine Raimondo. Production help on today's rerun from Matt Tierney and Henry Larson. This American Life is distributed by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Support for This American Life comes from Progressive Insurance. Snapshot from Progressive gives a personalized rate based on actual driving habits. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Snapshot is not available in California or from all agents. And from Odoo. Odoo streamlines every aspect of your company in one simple and efficient business management platform. More information at odoo.com. That's odoo.com. Thanks always to our program's co-founder, Mr. Tori Malatia, who is not jealous at all of the fact that This American Life staff get to tape interviews all the time.
You know, I do it too. I tape people using an alias.
I'm Eric Glass. Back next week with more stories of This American Life.
All her friends, they just watch her.
Watch her.
For they know the great imposter. And she
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute FM 90.3, K210CR in Atchison, 89.9, and K258BT in Manhattan at 99.5. Just in time for Halloween, the Haunted States of America. Next time on KPR Presents, it's a cross-country trip of spooky stories. 6 o'clock tomorrow evening on Kansas Public Radio. Coming up next here on KPR, it's the latest news from NPR, followed by Trail Mix with Bob McWilliams. I'm Kay McIntyre. Have a great afternoon.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. The Israeli military says it has completed its mission against Iran in response to Iran's attacks on Israel this past year. Officials say its forces carried out airstrikes overnight, targeting Iran's air defenses and the storage and production sites of ballistic missiles and drones. NPR's Jackie Northam reports on the U.S. reaction.
The National Security Council actually held a background call late last night with a senior administration official who said essentially that, perhaps hopefully, that the U.S. thinks this should be the end of direct military exchange between Israel and Iran. However, that same official said that if Iran chooses to respond, the U.S. is fully prepared to defend against any attack on Israel and has been communicating that message to Tehran.
NPR's Jackie Northam. A federal appeals court ruled yesterday against a Mississippi law that provides a grace period for voters who are voting by mail. It's one of several Republican lawsuits filed ahead of the election aiming to disqualify mail-in ballots that arrive after Election Day. NPR's Ashley Lopez reports.
Roughly 20 states accept and count mail-in ballots postmarked on or before Election Day that are received after Election Day. These laws exist to give voters wiggle room in case there are problems with the Postal Service. But the Republican National Committee, along with the Trump campaign, argue that these grace periods violate federal law because Congress designates when elections end. The famously conservative Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the RNC. This ruling, however, doesn't go into effect immediately, but instead sends the matter back to a lower court. Republicans have filed similar challenges in other states, including in Nevada. Democrats have called them fringe lawsuits that are an effort to sow distrust in elections. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
Attorneys for foster youth in Texas are appealing a decision they say makes it harder to force the state to investigate abuse and neglect allegations at facilities for those with intellectual disabilities. A filing last night argues the court was wrong to remove the lower court judge and void contempt fines. Texas Public Radio's Paul Flev reports.
Attorneys for foster children in a long-running lawsuit against the state of Texas are appealing a ruling they say puts kids at risk. For 13 years, they've fought the state in court over what they say is needed to fix a broken system. Earlier this month, a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals removed a lower court judge for overseeing the child welfare system in the state. Judge Janice Jack had ruled in favor of reforms, and her removal was seen as a win for the state. The court also vacated millions of dollars in fines that Judge Jack issued against the state over its failure to keep intellectually disabled foster children safe in treatment homes. Attorneys for the foster children are asking for the full Fifth Circuit to review the case. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Easy Cater, committed to helping organizations meet their food needs from online ordering to simplified expense reporting. With a nationwide network of restaurants all on one platform, learn more at easycater.com. Here's the Vote Sisters to open today's Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio.
Spring is just around the bend. Ain't no time to go, darling. Fields need plowing and the fences mend. Ain't no time to go, darling. Stay with me a little bit longer. Stay with me if you can. Stay with me a little bit longer. Ain't no time to go, darling. The children need your guiding hand. Ain't no time to go, darling. Your son's too young to be a man. with me a little bit longer. Stay with me if you can. Stay with me a little bit longer. Ain't no time to go, darling. Ain't no time to go, darling, but I'll be doing the best I can. Ain't no time to go, darling. Stay with me a little bit longer. Stay with me if you can. Stay with me a little bit longer. Ain't no time to go, darling. Stay with me if you can. Stay with me a little bit longer. Ain't no time to go, darling.
The Vogt Sisters on KPR, their version of a Loretta Lynn song, Ain't No Time to Go. That is from their latest album a couple of years ago called Songs That Keep Us Sane, a terrific covers album by the Vogt Sisters, who have made very few performance appearances this year, but they are playing at Knuckleheads 1 week from tonight, November the 2nd, 8 p.m. show in the Gospel Lounge there. The Gospel Lounge, their intimate listening room. The Vogt Sisters there next Saturday night, Knuckleheads, 8 p.m. I'm Bob McWilliams. Always great to have you join me today, and thank you so much for being here. In just a little bit, we'll hear new music from Amy Spies, and a little bit later, we're going to hear some of the great work by fiddler Michael Barnett and a whole lot of other goodies as well, including right now the duo of Robinson and Rowe, an album that came out early in 2023 called Into the Night. Singer, guitarist Liam Rowe, vocalist and also playing banjo, piano, and accordion, Liam Robinson. Some other folks helped them out. And we'll hear two songs beginning with Where I Am Coming From, written by Gene Rowe here on KPR.
I come from people who came from nothing, the huddled man on the shore. They came from wars and they came from suffering, came sailing through her golden door. I come from people who miss their homelands and friends forever left behind. I come from people hungry for something, people with freedom on their miners and dockers on the shore, worked in the steel mills or in the shipyard, or locked behind the sweatshop doors. I come from people taunted and spit on, their bodies chewed up in the grind. I come from anarchists, I come from socialists, the suffering of Jesus on their minds.
snuffed her torch when they came ashore. Who turned a country into a fortress with stony walls that have no door? And I come from people who saw their dreams bloom just as their fears made them go blind. These people made me, oh, they complicate me.
The duo Robertson and Rowe on KPR, their 2023 album Into the Night, and both those written by Gene Rowe, Where I'm Coming From, and Follow Gene Rowe, and Liam Robinson. Hope they do some more together. This one, Really Fine, came out on Righteous Babe Records, the record label started by Ani DeFranco a number of years ago. We've got Amy Spies up next. We've got some very nice covers from Brittany Jean and from Daryl Scott. In fact, Daryl Scott's long out-of-print album, Modern Hymns, his album of covers, has been reissued and available digitally as well for the first time. And it includes one song that was not on the original, a little-known, at least little-known to me, I think a pretty obscure Cat Stevens song with a great job by Daryl Scott on that. So those goodies are on the way. On Trail Mix, support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. Terrific new album from Amy Spies. It's called The American Dream. We'll hear her sing a song written by Jamie Harris, but first the original by Amy Spies called This February Day here on KPR.
Trail where I am following the river this February day. Now there's something about a train that makes me feel I'm not alone. The echo of the whistle like a song that I have known. All my life I've had the urge to run away to the unknown. Instead of stay, the shortest month often is the pivot of the year. The door out of the winter, the window to the spring. And I'm hoping for a miracle on this winding way. This February day. This trail, learning to break free of a broken heart and spirit, and it helped me to heal. Now there's ice on the water, snow in the trees that bend and sway. Deer aren't afraid, there's a buck and a doe, and there's an owl in the tree. And I can hear her howl and moan. My heart is fragile like a cloud, cold to the bone in the gray. The miles on this path could sweat it all away. Doubt and the fear and words I wish I didn't say. The amends for the in the years I remember today, on this February day. Sky, and I'm reaching for a God I don't believe in all the time in my prayers. One foot and then the other, it's a comforting beat. my soul, and out as I weep to the hawk in the sky and the cracked concrete on this trail. Sometimes my prayer is quiet, sometimes I loudly beg to the ice and the cold, through the chill on my breath, and I write this song to tell you I love you more than words could say. This February day,
gonna come again, maybe when you're not quite looking, maybe tonight, my friend, maybe when you're driving, love will call and you will fall into a place you never thought you could fit in. Love is gonna come again. No, you don't believe me yet, stuck inside your head, wondering what you could have said in that bed. Love will find you and remind you of the things you thought you'd give up feeling. Love is gonna come again. From your telephone as it echoes through your empty home, no way of knowing if you'll have anything close to what you had then. Love is gonna come again. Way to you, maybe it'll come with the morning dew, right where those flowers grew. Butterflies flew, and on their wings they always bring the kind of peace to ease your grieving. Love is gonna come again. Love is gonna come.
Amy Speece And her version of the Jamie Harris song, Love Is Gonna Come Again, before that, Amy's original this February day. Both from her new album called The American Dream. We've got Daryl Scott in a bit. Brittany Jean up next here on KPR, where support for Trail Mix comes from the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College, featuring the Opus 76 Quartet, Christmas with the Celts, and more this season. Single tickets at jccc.edu/Midwest Trust Center. Brittany Jean's album last year called Colors and Covers, a mix of originals and covers. We'll hear one of each, beginning with her own song called Dear Mr. Green. It's Brittany Jean on KPR.
Man.
you seen the old man in the closed down market, kicking up the papers with his worn out shoes? In his eyes you'll see no pride, hand held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you the sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something that might change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags. She's no time for talking, just keeps right on walking. She's carrying her home in two carrier bags. How can you tell me you're sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something that might change your mind. In the old night cafe at a quarter past 11, same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. Each tea lasts an hour and he wanders home alone. How can you tell me you're lonely and say for you the sun? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something that might change your mind. Have you seen the old man? Forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. How can you tell me you're lonely and say for you the sun won't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something that might change your mind. Tell you I'm lonely. For me, the sun won't shine. Someone took me by the hand and led me through the streets of London, showed me something and changed my mind.
That's Brittany Jean covering the Ralph McTell song, Streets of London. Before that, Brittany's own song, Dear Mr. Green, a mix of originals and covers on this album called Colors and Covers by Brittany Jean, with some great fiddling from a decade back by Mike Barnett on the way. Also a song from the new album by bluegrass singer and guitarist Rebecca Fraser, with a host of terrific artists joining in with her. And up next on KPR, Mr. Daryl Scott. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. 72% of NPR listeners value public radio as an important community service, so you can support your community and promote your business by sponsoring KPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. Back in 2007, Daryl Scott put out an album of covers called Modern Hymns, a really wonderful album. It's been out of print since 2013, never released digitally. Well, it's being reissued in all formats, and for this album, the new Modern Hymns, he's calling it, there's one more song added to it. It starts the album out. It's a Cat Stevens song. We'll see if you know it. I did not, but I'm glad Daryl Scott did it. Here for you on KPR.
I'd like to live in a wigwam. I'd like to live in a wigwam. I'd like to live in a wigwam and dance around the totem pole. I'd like to live in an igloo. Yeah, I'd like to live in an igloo. I would like to live in an igloo and fish from an ice hole. I'd like to ride on a caravan. I'd like to take a ride on a caravan. Yeah, I'd like to ride on a caravan and sing with the gypsies. I'd like to live on a commune. Yeah, I'd like to live on a commune. Yeah, I'd like to live on a commune. And people can call me hippie. There's too many empty rooms. I don't want to live in a barracks. I don't want to live in a barracks. Oh, I don't want to live in a barracks and wake up to the bugle tune. I just want to live in a tree hut. Yeah, I'd like to live in a tree hut. To the sound of birds. I don't want to live in a jailhouse. I don't want to spend my time in no jailhouse. I don't want to live in a jailhouse and be fed. I'm glad I'm alive, I'm alive.
Finery tonight. I
wish that I could know them one by one, and all the handsome gentlemen with loving on their minds, strolling in to take the ladies home. Bless you all and keep you on the road to tenderness. Heaven can be yours just for now. All the gentle strangers who by nature do not smile, to everyone who cannot hold a pen, to all you heavy rounders with a headache for your pains, I dread the thought of going round the bend. Bless you all and keep you on the road to better things. Heaven can be yours just for now. Tonight, I wish that I could kiss you while you knit. To all the ones who've learned to live with being second guessed, whose job it is to give more than they get. Bless you all and keep you with the faith to understand. Oh, heaven. Cannot last, to all the sleeping giants who must wake, to every man who answers to the letter of the law, and all the rest in prison by mistake. Oh, bless you all and keep you with the faith to let it pass. Heaven can be yours just for now, just for now. Have trouble being seen, to all of you with heartache that remains, maybe sometime later you might swim back into shore, if someone could relieve you of your chains. Bless you all and keep you on the land or on the sea. Heaven can be yours just for now.
That's Daryl Scott's version of the Gordon Lightfoot song, All the Lovely Ladies, here on KPR. And before that, Daryl Scott's version of a Cat Stevens song, I Want to Live in a Wigwam. That song added to all the others on the 2007 album Modern Hymn. Just been reissued, been out of print for more than a decade. And it's now out, and it's called the new modern hymns, all the original album, plus set sung by Cat Stevens. It's done by Daryl Scott. We're going to hear from singer and guitarist Rebecca Fraser's new album in about 10 minutes, and the brilliant fiddling of Mike Barnett is next. Well, today on 105 Live, the in-studio's guest is jazz instrumentalist Eddie Moore with live tracks from his electric group, recorded live at the Bottleneck in Lawrence, plus new music from Wichita, Manhattan, and Lawrence. Join Nick Carswell, 105 Live, today at 5 p.m. on KPR. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com. Here's fiddler Michael Barnett, here on KPR.
Tears fell to the sea, full of memories of my little darling. It was there my reflection looked up and told me to return and to leave her cold and her asleep. I'm coming for thee, oh my darling. My eyes full of fury, mind in a rage, I left her, my dear little darling. Old age, and I sighed with relief as I sailed through the night. Farewell, my sweet little darling. Thank you.
Fiddler Mike Barnett's tune called Hop the Train to Hudson. He did both those twin fiddle parts before that song he wrote called Little Darlin' with special guest singer Tim O'Brien. The album a decade ago under the name Michael Barnett called One Song Romance. Terrific outing indeed. About 3.5 years ago, Mike suffered a near-fatal brain aneurysm, which left him with a very significant amount of paralysis, and it's been a long recovery road. And for stroke victims, especially of serious strokes like that, it's a long recovery road. And Mike has made a lot of progress, but is, I gather, not close to being able to play, or at least as far as I know, to be able to play music again. But he does make wonderful comments about music. He loves it. He's involved in it. We always wish the best for this great guy who I knew through several bands, but especially with the Deadly Gentlemen. Up next, new music from guitarist and singer Rebecca Fraser. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes with Topeka's Nodo Arts and Entertainment District, featuring a celebration of Souls Day, Day of the Dead in southern Mexico, exploring the Dia de los Muertos holiday traditions and origins now till December 14th. Info at explorenodo.org. And Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City Jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City Jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Summer wind got the windows down, fireweed paints the sky. Yesterday been lonesome, but today I feel alive.
singing a song she wrote with John Weisberger, High Country Road Trip, from her new album, Boarding Windows in Paradise, the likes of Bela Fleck and Sam Bush, among others, joining her for that one. We're Here and We Are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from Audio Reader, now accepting donations of audio equipment, vinyl records, and more for their audio sales. More information on Audio Reader services and how to donate at reader.ku.edu. Right after the news, new music from the band House of Hamel on KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Israel carried out airstrikes against Iran overnight, targeting Iran's air defenses and the storage and production sites of ballistic missiles and drones. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Tel Aviv. This was after Iran had conducted missile strikes against Israel earlier this month.
Israel's response was designed as a kind of a quid pro quo after Iran carried out its missile strikes on Israel on October 1st, and also designed in a way that Iran would be able to contain any reaction. Israel says that its retaliation against Iran is now over, and Iran indeed is signaling that it's downplaying this.
NPR's Daniel Estrin. President Biden told reporters today that intelligence officials say it appears the strikes only hit military targets. Vice President Kamala Harris also spoke about the strikes. She says the U.S. maintains the importance of supporting Israel's right to exist, but also is very adamant that there must be a de-escalation in the region. Harris said the administration will continue its diplomatic efforts to end the fighting in Gaza and Lebanon. Just 10 days remain in a tight presidential race, and Harris and former President Donald Trump are both holding rallies in the battleground state of Michigan. NPR's Amy Held reports.
Trump took the stage in Novi, Michigan, Saturday as early voting opened statewide. It began last week, and state officials said by Friday some 20% of registered voters had already cast their ballots. Speaking outside the Motor City, Trump lamented losses in the automotive and manufacturing industries and took another dig at Detroit.
I think Detroit and some of our areas makes us a developing nation.
Harris is keeping the focus on abortion rights. She addressed the media before her rally in Kalamazoo.
I'm about to go and meet with some of the physicians who are on the front lines of this issue, who are addressing the harm that has resulted from these Trump abortion bans.
Both candidates turn next to rallies in the biggest swing state prize of Pennsylvania. Amy Held, NPR News.
For the first time since 1988, the Washington Post is not endorsing a presidential candidate. Robert Kagan resigned as editor-at-large. He says he blames the owner, Jeff Bezos, for the decision not to endorse Kamala Harris.
Well, it was a pretty easy decision. This is obviously an effort by Jeff Bezos to curry favor with Donald Trump in the anticipation of his possible victory. Trump has threatened to go after Bezos's business. Bezos runs one of the largest companies in America. They have tremendously intricate relations with the federal government. They depend on the federal government. And Trump has made it clear that he will attack media organizations that are critical of him.
He was interviewed on CNN. You're listening to NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Easy Cater, working to help organizations with their food needs with online ordering from a nationwide network of restaurants, flexible employee lunch programs, and more, all on one platform. More at easycater.com. Here's multi-instrumentalist from Cape Breton, Darren McMullen, on KPR. A blast of tunes from Cape Breton's Darren McMullen. He called that set Banjo Heaven and Hell, Steeplechase Temperance Reel, and Fox Hunters. Multi-instrumentalist Darren McMullen plays a lot of different instruments on this album. On that one, tenor, banjo, bass, and mandolin. J.P. Cormier added in some backing work as well. That kicks us off in this 2 o'clock hour of Trail Mix. We're going to hear a roots band with a lot of Celtic influences and others as well, the band House of Hamel. That is next here on KPR's Trail Mix. From their new album, Wildfire, here's House of Hamel on KPR.
Stars but dimly shine. Don't go into the golden light of the morning with a troubled mind. There's no shadow before you. Dance in the daylight of the love you find. Here's the kiss of
thank you.
House of Hamel here on KPR. That was their original instrumental tune called Ouseable. House of Hamel with fiddler Rose Baldino, guitar, fiddle, banjo player Brian Buchanan, bass and mandolin player Carolyn Browning. They all sing as well as they did on that first song, which contains at least portions of the lyrics out of W.B. Yeats's piece, A Dream of a Blessed Spirit. They called the song Into the Golden. The album this year called Wildflyer, House of Hamel, KPR, with singer-songwriter Liv Green up next, and the new album from Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. We'll hear some of that in a few minutes here on Trail Mix. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com. Here's Liv Green, two songs from her new album that is called Deep Feeler, here on KPR.
I'm aware I'm a liar, always lying to myself about my expectations. I'm aware I'm a crier. I know all this crying doesn't help the situation. I'm aware it's not doing magic to turn a crow into a dove, turn a stranger into love. When it's always rare, it's always tragic. And yet I know I'll be getting back up. I'm a deep feeler. First of all, yeah, I'm a dancer, and you're stuck up on the wall. To make the call, you know it isn't your fault. Deep feelers. First of all, yeah, I'm the dancer, and you're stuck up on the wall. I'm a deep
drink poison again, like you went and lost your oldest friend. Looking for you in the store windows, passing by, oh, it makes you want to cry. Cause it's getting harder. Soft and the light gets long, and all things come back, yeah, they come back strong. Forgive yourself for what you did wrong, if it got you through the night. Cause wild geese are gonna fly, wild geese are gonna fly.
Nashville-based Liv Green and a really terrific new album called Deep Feely. We heard that song to open the set, and then one called Wild Geese. Liv Green produced that one herself in Nashville. She's just 24, at least 24, and she made the album, I think, maybe 25 now. Liv Green. By the way, Green is G-R-E-E-N-E. Liv Green on KPR with Gillian Welch and David Rawlings from their new album up next called Woodland. In a little while, we'll hear some Robert Earl Keen here on KPR's Trail Mix.
Slow motion dream that you never see. not send me a letter? Full of sleepless devilry. I'll tell you now, we could be together. If you ever get tired,
saw your old familiar face. I was walking in a new watering place. Been a little lost for a little while. People sometimes go out of style. Make a new habit, have a new kid. Maybe both, God forbid. But all at once you seem to know everything that laid me low. Caught it like a new form of the flu. Chalked it up to our old friend the blues. The questions and the answers you found talked me out of that breakdown. You said, time makes the wheels spin and the years roll out and the doubt rolls in and the truck stops in the parking lot. And the cheap motels. When will we become ourselves? When will we become ourselves? When will we become ourselves? You laughed and said the news would be bad if I ever saw your name with a hashtag. Singers like you and I only news when we die. So here I'm sitting round another night looking at your boots. Jesus Christ, that's a mighty big one to try to fill. Never can and never will. So here's another song that's over now. You're another son that done gone down. Put another good one in the ground. Good Lord, it's going round. Now let the wheels spin and the tears roll out and the tributes roll in and the truck stops. Parking lots and the cheap motels. When will we become ourselves? When will we become ourselves? When will we become ourselves?
Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, two songs from their really fine new album, which is called Woodland. We heard North Country, followed by Hashtag here on Kansas Public Radio, with songs by Robert Earl Keene up next on KPR. Singer-songwriter Chris Jacobs, joined by the infamous String Dusters and the bluegrass band the Poe Ramblin' Boys on the way this hour as well. Well, guitars galore this evening at 6. It's KPR's Live at Green Eagle Lounge with the band Guitar Elation, with two terrific guitarists, Danny Embry and Brian Baggett. They've got an hour of original music for us, Kansas City Jazz, on Live at Green Eagle Lounge this evening at 6 on Kansas Public Radio. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, online at kansaspublicradio.org. From the 1998 album Walking Distance, here's Robert Earl Keene on KPR.
When I was a young boy, only thing that really mattered was making friends and having fun. Walking down the river, turn around and head on back when the day's done. And like they always say, everybody goes their own way. Nobody knows, no one can tell. Always been the same for me, 'cause it's just the way it must be, heading down that dusty trail. When I was a young man, of the river, with nothing but some Mustang wine and all the stars above. And like they always say, everybody goes their own way. Nobody knows, no one can tell. All the same to me, get it just the way it must be, heading down that dusty trail. And broken down, I'm a stumbler and it won't be long till I stumble back and the ones I love till I cross that river. All along I'm moving on till my time is through. And like they always say, everybody goes their own way. Nobody knows, no one can tell. It's always been the same for me, 'cause it's just the way it must be. Always been the same for me, the way it must be. Always been the same for me. Guess it's just the way it must be. Getting down that dusty trail.
the mountains and I swept the plains. Across the border and I broke my chains. I walked the back roads till my shoes wore through. I'm still without you. Without you. I lie awake at night and say your name. I paint your picture on a starlit frame. Try imagining a rendezvous. I'm still without you. Without you. I'd find you would leave my mind, but my dreams they just don't know. They can't seem to let you go. I'm so sad I don't know what to do. If I could travel back to our last kiss, if I had a different point of view, I'm still without you, without you. The moon is sitting just beyond the hill. Wind is resting, but my heart won't still. It happens every night, right on cue. I'm still without you, without you. I thought I'd find. My dreams, they just don't know. They can't seem to let you go. I'm so sad I don't know what to do.
With Down That Dusty Trail and then Still Without You and the conclusion to Road to No Return, the 1998 album. Walking Distance. And Baltimore bass singer-songwriter Chris Jacobs up next, followed by Bluegrass from the Poe Ramblin' Boys. Support for Trail Mix on Kansas Public Radio comes from Spider Arc Constructors, offering hardscaping across the KPR listening area, including patios and retaining walls. More information about creating your backyard oasis is at Spider Arc, Spider with a Y, SpiderArcConstructors.com. In the first 10 years of this century, Chris Jacobs was the leader, the front man for a band in Baltimore called The Bridge. It got Chris the nickname of the King of Baltimore Rock and Roll. But he underwent kind of a mental health and a musical identity crisis. But he came out of that with this album, with the infamous String Dusters, the backing band, with Jerry Douglas producing the album One of These Days. Here's Chris Jacobs, his song Lifetime to Go, with guest singer Leanne Womack on KPR.
Years come and gone like a star wished upon. For the fires we lit to burn on, didn't we, babe? I remember that June drove from Blacksburg to Boone. Look it up since that first afternoon. All the glories and regrets of the stories ain't done yet. Sweetheart of mine, don't count the days, dead on the vine. But all the ways, we still got a lifetime full of changes, darling. Let's turn the pages slow. Still got a lifetime to go. As the day you took my name, winds of time tried to burn out the flame, didn't they, babe? Oh, hope you still find a spark. Does the darkness get too dark? Didn't reality miss the mark? The dream that we dreamt on those mountain roads back then. Sweetheart of mine, don't count the days, dead on the vine. But all the way, we still got a lifetime full of changes, darling. Let's turn the pages slow. Still got a lifetime to go. I can still see your face like a diamond. Still got a lifetime to go. I will meet you again and again for the first time ahead.
To embrace in that imperfect dance of give and take as we bend but we don't break.
Sweetheart of mine, don't count the days, dead on the line. But all the ways, we still got a lifetime full of changes, darling. Let's turn the pages slow. Still got a lifetime to go. Still got a lifetime.
when you're all alone? Do you think to atone when you feel that cold chill way down in your bones? What do you say, what do you do, honey babe, when it's on through them cold, cold walls? Do you pray when it's on? And you can't even hide in the sheets on your bed. Where do you run? What do you do, poor son? When it's only them cold, cold walls, not your gun, but it's only them cold, cold walls. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Then what does a crooked heart? Cold as blue as the quiet at the end of your day. On your last dollar bill, would you die on that hill? Would you stand by them words that you swore to me still? With a God you pretend to believe, save me then when it's only them cold, cold walls.
Side that I am.
Do you ask for forgiveness with no one to witness for all of the debts of your unfinished business? What will you say? What do you do, honey babe, when it's on?
Leave them cold, cold walls.
Do you pray?
That's Chris Jacobs and his song Cold, Cold Walls. Special guests there, the wonderful voices, the McCrary Sisters, the backing band, the infamous String Dusters for this album, One of These Days. And we started off with the song Lifetime to Go with the infamous String Dusters, plus vocal help from Leanne Womack and Ashby Frank. Jay Douglas produced it. Chris Jacobs, C-R-I-S Jacobs, the album One of These Days here on KPR with Bluegrass just ahead by the Poe Ramblin' Boys here on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from the law office of David J. Brown, LC in Lawrence, working to help individuals, small businesses, families, and non-traditional families with legal and estate planning needs, located at 120 East 9th Street in Lawrence. In about 10 minutes here on KPR, we're going to hear from the new release this year by Chris Smither, and we've got Lawrence's own Kelly Hunt with a song on the way as well here on KPR. Up next, though, it's the Poe Ramblin' Boys, a terrific, very straight-ahead bluegrass band. Their album this year is called Wanderers Like Me. The Poe Ramblin' Boys did start off as all boys, but last year they brought in a very fine, in fact, terrific fiddler, Laura Orshaw. So there's a Poe Ramblin' girl now as part of the Poe Ramblin' Boys. The album produced by Woody Platt and the title song, Wanderers Like Me, the Poe Ramblin' Boys on KPR's Trail Mix.
Wanderers like me
lonesome. Chasing dreams is all I'll ever need. Wanderers like me, hanging on to every sunset, searching for a moment, hoping I can find a little peace. That's a lot for wanderers like me. Got that old familiar feeling, a rambler spirit's calling me again. I can't seem to shake it, you know I've always drifted with the wind. I tell you I'll be back, but to tell the truth I really just don't know. Running down a rainbow isn't always about a pot of gold. Is where the heart is, and mine is the horizon and beyond. Don't be brokenhearted, cause you know you're not the reason I'll be gone. Treat me with kindness, sadly it's the hand we've both been dealt. I'd like to think I love you, but I don't even think I love myself. Wanderers like me, don't settle down for no one. Don't mind being lonesome. Chasing dreams is all I'll ever need. Wanderers like me, hanging on to every sunset, searching for a moment, hoping I can find a little peace. That's a lot for wanderers like me. The mountains and the desert, I don't mind the weather. I'm dying to know the feeling of being free. Like me, don't settle down for no one. Don't mind being lonesome. Chasing dreams is all I'll ever need. Wanderers like me, hanging on to every sunset, searching for a moment, hoping I can find a little peace. That's a lot for wanderers like me.
The Poe Ramblin' Boys, a terrific band squarely within the bluegrass tradition. We just heard the title track to their album this year on Smithsonian Folkways Records called Wanderers Like Me, written by the band's guitarist and lead singer Josh Rinkle, together with Stephen Mogin, a longtime member of Sam Bush's band, C.J. Lewandowski playing mandolin, Jasper Lorentzen bass, Jerome Brown banjo, fiddler Laura Orshaw, guitarist Josh Rinkle, the Poe Ramblin' Boys here on Kansas Public Radio's Trail Mix.
This week on the Retro Cocktail Hour, it's our annual Halloween Spooktacular, featuring all manner of music from monsters, munsters, mummies, and other people in show business. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Saturday night at 7 on KPR.
We're here, and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5 KANH, and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7 KANV, and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3 KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org.